This is Paul Davey, Yield Point Specialist for Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Jamie Dickerman. Tyler Donaldson will have an update as well. President Donald Trump used Truth Social to deliver his latest warning to China. Trump said he believes China is purposely not buying U.S. soybeans, describing it as an economically hostile act. Trump went on to say the U.S. may terminate any business with China dealing with cooking oil and other elements of trade as a form of retribution. Last year, the U.S. purchased nearly 1.3 million metric tons of used cooking oil from China. The imported cooking oil is in competition for domestic supplies in the renewable diesel and sustainable aviation fuel markets.
During a White House news briefing, President Trump also addressed the trade relationship with China.
We have to be careful with China. Look, I have a great relationship with Prince Xi, but sometimes it gets testy because China likes to take advantage of people, and they can't take advantage of us. But we have a fair relationship with China, and I think it'll be fine. And if it's not, that's okay, too.
Last Friday, Trump threatened China with 100% tariffs. The approach seemed to soften over the weekend when Trump said everything with China will be fine.
During an appearance on CNBC, U.S. Trade Representative Jamison Greer said the likelihood of 100% tariffs depends on what China does next. Last week, China implemented restrictions on exports of rare earth minerals used in the tech sector. Trump responded with the threat of massive tariffs. Greer blames China for the escalation of the trade war, but later said he thought the two countries will be able to resolve those differences.
At a press conference yesterday, Democrats criticizing President Trump's ongoing tariff policy, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz says it's costing U.S. farmers key export markets that may not return anytime soon.
Donald Trump didn't create these markets. In fact, government didn't create these markets. Farmers themselves, through checkout programs and hard work over decades, established markets globally that allow us to thrive, allow us. We produce way more food than we're going to use here. It allows the world. It brings stability. And right now, all of this is at risk.
Walz plans to visit a soybean farm in southern Minnesota today to highlight the serious economic impacts of the tariff policy.
More rain chances across the region today and tonight. Grand Forks-based National Weather Service meteorologist Austin Perot says rain amounts will vary across the area.
A lot more widespread and also a little bit more substantial in rainfall amounts, especially as you get kind of more north and west of the Red River Valley. Kind of closer towards the Devil's Lake Basin and the Turtle Mountains, starting to look closer to an inch of rainfall up there. It's going to be kind of like a tight rainfall amount. So the further north and west you go, you're going to get heavier amounts, but the further south and east you go, you're going to get lighter amounts.
Perro says the rain chances taper off by Friday with cooler temps returning for the weekend.
With soybean and beet harvest going strong, World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner is forecasting some wet weather for the northern plains in the coming days.
For the next couple of weeks, we're going to see a little bit of an unsettled weather pattern. I do think that there'll be a couple of weather systems in this first week of the outlook that'll bring some rain into the region. The precipitation is expected to be light to maybe moderate. In each event, the first event is going to come through probably on Wednesday night into Friday. That system is expected to be relatively quick moving. The next system after that will hold off until probably midweek next week, and it too will be a quick moving event.
Once we get to November, temperatures are expected to drop.
We get to the end of October and the beginning of November. I think we should anticipate a little bit more cold weather, especially in the latter part of November. Right now, we're kind of looking at the tendency for a little bit more meaningful shift towards colder bias conditions at that point in time, and maybe we'll pick up a little more precipitation as we transition in that mode.
Fed Chair Jerome Powell signaling the central bank remains on course to cut interest rates later this month, citing weakness in the labor market despite lingering concerns. Powell said the Fed is balancing two key risks. Cutting rates too fast could leave inflation unresolved, while acting too slowly could trigger job losses. He also indicated the Fed may be nearing the end of its effort to shrink its $6.6 trillion asset portfolio, which was built up during the pandemic to support the economy.
Chinese soybean imports surging in September, climbing more than 13% year-over-year as overall imports rose sharply. Bank of America Global Research says imports from Brazil up 24%, while purchases from the U.S. fell more than 16%, matching August's decline. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. U.S. farmers are facing a perfect storm of headwinds this year, and while help is on the way with an aid package, the ongoing government shutdown has that shelved for the moment. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has the story.
Callan and Associates President Jim Callan says work on aid for U.S. farmers is still going on behind the scenes, but there's currently no expectations anything will be finalized before government operations resume.
There's been discussion by both USDA, the White House, and folks on the Hill about some kind of a bridge payment for producers to help them into 2026. And I know that senators such as John Hoeven and others are working on this in the Congress and trying to figure out a way forward because of some issues relating to possibly using tariff money, how the authorities would play out, does Congress need to authorize some of this? And I think all that's being looked at seriously and being worked on as a way to further help producers, because people recognize that even though there was substantial plus up for producers in the One Big Beautiful Bill, it doesn't help them immediately. And so they're looking at ways to be of assistance.
Callan says the Trump administration was prepared to release an announcement about aid for farmers, but the government shutdown shut that down as well.
The administration was going to do an announcement on this last Tuesday, and the president and other senior officials had indicated that that was going to be the case, and then they decided they couldn't because of the shutdown, and they would wait until after it from USDA Secretary Rollins. So that's nothing can be really is going to be announced until after the shutdown on that.
The ongoing government shutdown is also further delaying any hope of getting a farm bill finished.
That's what House Ag Chairman Thompson has talked about and has focused on. But, with the shutdown and, some challenges in the House with addressing concerns on both sides of the aisle, somehow coming to an agreement, I think it's going to be difficult. But I know he wants to try to do something before the end of the year.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
The government shutdown continuing, a little sign of progress in Washington. Policy Solutions President Jay Truitt says the political standoff could have long-term implications for farmers and future farm policy.
I, for one, am one of those people that now, maybe I've talked myself into a corner, but I kind of see that we don't even do a farm bill in 2026. I think we're going to have to get past the midterm election to actually really have any meaningful kind of debate on what farm policy ought to be. I know that's counter to everything that you hear out of the leadership in both the House and Senate Ag Committees, and I have deep respect for all those people. But I, honestly, it's easier for me to give you all the reasons that we don't do one till after midterms than it does for me to explain how we would get one done.
Truitt thinks the overall process may need to change to make things run more efficiently.
One of the things I think that the Ag Committee should look at, I don't know if this is even a good idea, but we should have a real discussion about it openly, and that is the concept that we pass a farm bill that would continue to remain in force until it's replaced and require the committee to go through the process of looking at one every 4 to 5 years, pick your term. But in the same way that these government shutdowns actually just create havoc that I don't think is really honestly necessary, we could avoid this with some simple authorizing measures that keep the status quo as is until we change it.
Ag Vice soil scientist John Brecker advising farmers to have a plan in place for fall fertilizer. And he says that all starts with soil sampling.
We all know that fertilizer prices are rather high, relatively speaking, to previous years. And it's important to have up-to-date soil test information so you know that you're applying the right rate and the right parts of the fields, as well as thinking about zone sampling, so trying to tailor those fertilizer applications to the specific productivity areas in a field rather than the traditional flat rate applications that were more common 20 or 30 years ago. So once you have that information, then it's time to start making some decisions about if you got a window to put on some fall applied fertilizer or if you want to wait till spring.
USDA's weekly grain export inspections report showing mixed results across commodities. Corn inspections reaching 313 million bushels so far this marketing year, up 65% from 2024. Soybeans totaling 149 million, down 26% from last year. Wheat inspections coming in 392 million bushels, up 18% from a year ago. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Soybean cyst nematode is responsible for $1.5 billion in yield loss per year in the United States. University of Nebraska Extension plant pathologist Dylan Mangel, who is part of the SCN Coalition, expects those losses to only grow due to an over-reliance of the P88788 source of resistance. SCN has found a way to overcome it. Mangel has now seen more soybean varieties with the Peking source of resistance.
But the problem with Peking is it's more effective than PI88788 ever was, which means it's going to apply a stronger selection pressure on those nematodes. And the data we have so far shows that it's likely to break down a lot faster than the PI88788 resistance source. So on that front, our recommendation is rotate between those resistance sources and maintain both of their effectiveness or both of their remaining effectiveness as long as possible.
The Red River Farm Network asked Mangel if other potential sources of SCN resistance are in the pipeline.
Overall, the industry as a whole has just really struggled to get alternate resistance sources through to the end. We have some that look really good, but they just might not yield, for example. So it takes a lot of time. Breeding is extremely slow. I'm sure others are going to come out, but I think we've all seen how the industry has struggled over the last decade to actually get them through to the end. And ultimately, if they don't yield, they're not worthwhile to put out there.
In the meantime, the recommendation is to rotate between the two current resistant sources. Soil testing for soybean cyst nematode also called a priority.
Brazil's crop agency CONAB estimating the 25-26 corn crop at 138.6 million metric tons, slightly below its previous estimate, but above USDA's 131 million ton forecast. The agency also projects a 16% jump in corn exports from last year, which would create additional competition for U.S. exports. CONAB expecting Brazil to harvest another record soybean crop in 2026 at 177.6 million metric tons, up from 171.5 million in 2025. Soybean exports also forecast to rise to 112 million metric tons next year as Brazil benefits from high output and reduced U.S. competition in the Chinese market.
The Environmental Protection Agency may be one of the agencies facing job cuts due to the government shutdown. EPA employees have received an email about a reduction in force. The number of EPA employees impacted is not known. Checking markets here in the overnight trade, we're down 2.25 for Minneapolis wheat. The December contract's at 551.25. Chicago wheat, December down 3.5, and the hard red winter wheat, December down 3. D's corn, 1.5 down, 411.5. The soybeans, November down 2.75 cents at 10.03¾ cents. Checking in on the farm calendar, the 2025 Prairie Grains Conference scheduled for December 10th and 11th at the Alera Center in Grand Forks. The keynote speakers list out Mike Speer, president of U.S. Wheat Associates, Al Kleiss from Kleiss Commodity Advisors, and Endon director and state climatologist Darrell Richeson, all on that program. Put it on the calendar. Have a great day. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.